This is the Rick Edelman Show.
Since Jean's not here today, in her honor, I thought I would spend some time focusing on health and wellness, but as it relates to our money. And as many of you know, if you've listened to the show or you're familiar with the backstory of Rick and Jean, how they founded and grew their company, you'll also know that Jean Edelman is often called the heart and soul of the company. Jean's at the root of why we have so many people still working here 30 plus years later. She has a saying. She says she wants all of our employees and clients to be, quote, happy, happy, happy. I had the pleasure of seeing Jean Edelman last week, and she never fails to inspire me with her approach to life and her approach to money. And while I don't have a word of the day today like Jean does, I've been thinking a lot about what money means to us emotionally and how can we all be happy, happy, happy about our money decisions. They say that money can't buy you happiness, of course, and you know, you've heard that since you were little, but the fact is money can buy things or experiences that bring you happiness or satisfaction or joy, or maybe it's just to fulfill a need that you have in your life, whether or not it's buying more supplies for your farm to grow a crop for your own or other consumption, or maybe it's money to hire a housekeeper to clean your house, or maybe it's a babysitter for a night out with your spouse, or just simply to give you more time to spend with your family versus working a few more hours. We know that money plays a vital role in our satisfaction within our lives. So how do you truly view your own relationship with money? Are you a spender? Are you a saver? Do you enjoy your money and do you enjoy spending it on things you love? Or do you prefer to watch it grow in your bank account or your investment account and not spend it? You know, we're all different with our views on money and our own personal finance. And oftentimes we have those views and we have those behaviors because of things that we learned as children, or maybe we didn't learn as children. How our parents were with money can often shape our own feelings about money, good or bad. You know, my own parents had very different views from each other on money. And I don't know, I've always wondered if in part that is what led to their divorce. And so is it really all that surprising that their child would grow up to think about personal finance as being really vital to life and to happiness? You know, maybe it's that I saw that it can be destructive to have families worry about money or fight about money. And I've made it my own life's work to help people avoid that. But what about you? What were your parents like with money? Did you grow up in a household where there wasn't a lot of money and you watched your parents struggle? And if so, what money decisions do you make now or have you made that reflect that experience? Or maybe you had a parent who was a great saver, but they never invested the money because they were afraid to lose it. You know, you hear about those Depression era savers where they just put it under the mattress or stuck it in a CD in the bank because you were too afraid of losing it. You know, I've heard stories of people that found money frozen in the freezer from a grandparent. Nobody knew it was there. So how has that fear impacted you if that was your case? You know, how has it hurt or helped your financial situation over your lifetime? And what can you do now to fix it? Can you think about what your emotional relationship is with money and about what you really want out of life? What do you really want money to do for you? Studies have shown that often when we retire, we can feel sort of lost initially. You know, in part, it's because your self-worth might be tied up in your career. Or maybe you were a stay-at-home parent and you've spent your time raising your kids and suddenly they're gone and you're an empty nester. Or if you're a retiree, either way, you know, your job is gone along with that prestige or that respect, that responsibility that you felt. And maybe it's friendships you had at work. Oh, and of course, the income you had too. But have you considered all of those dynamics as part of your retirement plan? Because as Jean Edelman often says, personal finance is more personal than finance. So maybe you are better off easing into retirement. Maybe it's working part-time or doing some consulting after you retire. Maybe you're just not 100% ready to pull the plug on your job. Or maybe you are 100% ready to pull the plug on your job and you hate your boss and you're ready to start living the rest of your life. But think about this. Is it time for you to start looking at your overall plan or maybe talking to a financial advisor perhaps? What are your true goals in life as it relates to your money? Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, I want to be able to retire and have enough to live on the same standard of living, or maybe I want to do some traveling. But think about this on a little bit of a deeper level, right? It's the first question we hear ask our clients when we meet with them for the first time, because it's ultimately what drives your own personal financial plan. What are your aspirations? What drives the choices that you make or have made? Now, really, really think about this, and I'll give you some examples to get you started. Is leaving a legacy to your children or grandchildren important? You know, is it travel? Is it traditions? Maybe it's just simply security or financial stability, or maybe it's having fun in life or spending time cultivating relationships. And so if you've decided it's time to retire, but all your friends were through work, maybe you need to look into spending money on classes, or maybe you need to spend time volunteering with organizations so that you're still able to socialize and make new friends. For lots of people, that's one of the major draws of a retirement community. It's meeting other people of a similar age or demographic to pick up a hobby with. My dad's, I think he's 78. Sorry, Dad, I don't remember exactly, but somewhere in there. And he spends part of every day playing pickleball. He found that although his true love is sailing, he can't do it here year round. So he spends time playing pickleball. He gets to socialize. He gets to laugh. He gets exercise at the same time. He loves it. And I know for me, some things that drive my decisions about money are time, tradition, family, friends, connecting with people. So what does this mean for me? Well, maybe it means I need to spend money on things that give me more time. You know, can I outsource and have somebody mow the lawn so that my husband and I can spend time together? You know, I want to build those types of things into my retirement budget. So what about you? What's on your list? And as it relates to this, if you're married or in a relationship, what's on your partner's list and do they match up? Most of the time, it's going to be a little different and that's okay. But it is important to talk and have that conversation early and often about your joint goals. Because even if they're different, there will be a happy medium. If you love to travel and your spouse doesn't, maybe you need to travel with your friends and they get to stay at home and have some alone time. But I'll leave you with this thought. If you haven't discussed your goals, your wants, or your needs as they relate to your future and your money, now is the time. It's never too late to plan for your future, even if it's only tomorrow or next week or next year. And if you don't know where to begin, start with talking to a financial advisor. It's our job to help walk you through this, to ask the right questions, to define what it is your life can look like going forward. But if you do call an advisor, make sure it's a fiduciary like we are here at Edelman Financial Engines. And either way, make sure you write it down. And as you're thinking about your future, think about this. By the year 2035, about half of the occupations today and some of those industries could be gone. And it's because of rapid changes coming our way thanks to disruptive technologies. Rick will be hosting a brand new virtual event, The Truth About Your Future, on Tuesday, October 19th at either 3 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The presentation is meant to help you understand these coming changes that could reshape everything from tax law to how you live, how you work, or how you prepare for retirement. Rick will discuss the potential changes involved in the latest technology like artificial intelligence, 3D printing, neuroscience, the blockchain. So join Rick Tuesday, October 19th at either 3 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. You can go to EdelmanFinancialEngines.com to register. You're listening to The Rick Edelman Show. I'm Isabel Barrow. 888-PLAN-RICK, RickEdelman.com.
These callers are pre-recorded and pre-screened. Neither Edelman Financial Engines, a division of Financial Engines Advisors, LLC, nor its affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. Investing strategies such as asset allocation, diversification, or rebalancing do not assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. All investments have inherent risks, including loss of principal. There are no guarantees that a portfolio employing these or any other strategy will outperform a portfolio that does not engage in such strategies. Past performance does not guarantee future results. An index is a portfolio of specific securities. Common examples are the S&P, DJIA, NASDAQ, the performance of which is often used as a benchmark in judging the relative performance of certain asset classes. Indexes are unmanaged portfolios, and investors cannot invest directly in an index. Past performance does not guarantee future results.